to the Josh Johnson Show. I'm Josh Johnson, joined by my co-host and fellow stand-up comedian, Logan Nielsen. Logan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very full right now.
You very full? What were you eating?
Both on life and this curry. And it, oof. Like all my movements feel off. It's really slowing me down.
Do you eat like a lot of it, or is it just like a dense curry?
So not only did I eat a lot of it, I ate it quickly because I knew we were going to record. Mm. And so then I was finishing up something else and then wolfed down these two bowls. And I mean, I really burned my mouth too. Like it was a trial.
I'm sorry, man.
I mean, I'm sure I'll recover, but also, woof.
I would hope so. If you didn't, there's something very wrong with you. If your mouth never heals. You remember in Chicago, I know you do, but Blaze Pizza?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the for people that don't know, Blaze Pizza is basically Subway, but for pizza.
But also better.
But better.
You can't do them like that.
No. I'm just saying, but it's that general idea of you're going down a line, having it made in front of you, adding what ingredients you want. And then they put it in the brick oven right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it cooks like that. That place, I was able to get into the habit of every time I went there, because they bring it right out of the oven, they call your name, and then you have your freshly baked pizza. And everyone, the first time they go there, they immediately dig in and burn the shit out of their mouth. So I started getting in the habit, I'd go there with new people, and then we'd sit down, and they'd all like start getting ready, and I'd go, nope, wait a second, it's gonna hurt. And I would just make everyone at their table just sit for a second. I'm like, trust me, you're gonna want to trust me on this. I've hurt myself too many times on the fresh pizza.
You just put up a caution light right in front of their plate.
I have a little timer, a little egg timer that I I set for like 2 minutes.
There's nothing that like makes you feel like an idiot more than burning your mouth more than once on your food. Because the first time is like, look, that could get anybody. All right, anybody can get got with that. Because it didn't burn your hand, so why would it burn my mouth, right? Yeah. But when you burn yourself that third time, you have to wonder, like, should I be able to vote?
No, man, but you nailed it. It was like third time, but like the first time I went, I was like, oh my God, that's so hot. The second time was like, oh God damn it, I did it again. And then by the third time, you're just like, I need to learn. I need to be smarter than the pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause even when you pick it up, when you burn yourself that third time, you start to, you really change your perspective on a lot of things. Like you've nailed it with the I need to be smarter thing, but I've also been like, how many more times am I going to burn myself? Like, because once I burn myself the third time, I'm like, I think I'm going to keep burning myself. I think I just don't know what hot is until it's been in my mouth too long.
Right. Yeah.
So no, yeah, I'm.
Do I understand temperature?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I always thought I knew what hot and cold were, but now I'm wondering, do I know it?
Yeah. I mean, Blaze Pizza is.
Well, that's even called Blaze. It warns you.
Yeah, they tell you ahead of time. I'm sure before Blaze, they were probably called like Robuccinos or something. And then they were like, everyone is burning themselves.
Everybody's immediately burning their mouths. We need to start calling ourselves. How about blister mouth pizza? No, two on the nose. A little gross.
Yeah, yeah. What about char mouth? And it's like, that just sounds
Like a Pokemon.
Yeah. And then they were like, how about Blaze?
Blaze, there we go. Come on,
Blaze sound good?
Yeah, sounds like an American gladiator.
Okay, all
that's
right.
What I do? Because our pizza will punch you in the fucking mouth.
Because I'm telling you, man, I there's nothing. There are certain things that just truly this goes without saying, but there are some foods where it is not worth burning your mouth for. Because I have burned my mouth at a Subway.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never gotten anything from Subway, even after they put it in the oven, that stays hot enough to even burn me.
Oh, dude, I don't even know what was happening. So you know the bread isn't bread, right? So the bread is already, the bread is already a lie.
What do you mean that the bread isn't bread?
The bread isn't bread. All right, the bread is coming through with falsehoods. The bread is coming through with lies. The bread is coming through with treachery.
You really need to say more than that, though. What do you mean the bread is lying?
How am I saying more words and you're not understanding more?
Because the more words you're saying are just synonyms. I mean, why? What do you mean the bread isn't bread? Is it artificial?
Every country besides us knows that bread isn't bread. there are other countries where they've been like, hey, that's not a sandwich.
Right. I stand by that. It's not really a sandwich.
Yeah. The bread is just an abomination. So then you get the bread, right? And the contents of the bread are so mysterious and elusive that I swear to you that I've had some Subway bread that did taste like bread. Then I've had other bread that was like, guys, this is glue. This is just bad. And so I got a Subway sandwich. I had them toast it. And then when it came out, it might as well have been magma. It still looked like bread, right?
Right.
But it was hot to the touch. It was still kind of soft, so it didn't toast. Like, as hot as it got, it didn't toast. It was almost like it reversed back into hot dough. Because I was just holding this,
Put it through gooey. Again, it'll just be flour and egg.
Yeah. I feel like if he had put it in for two more minutes, it would have just been a bunch of yolks on top of some lettuce. And so then I'm holding the Subway sandwich.
Do you even use eggs in bread?
Oh, do they? I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking crazy.
I feel like they use one egg because of the flour.
Because
the flour.
All right. Well, I was trying to help you, but no. I'm going to move on. I'm just going to wrap it up real quick. So then basically,
you think for how much British Bake Off I'm watching, I know what goes into bread, but I don't. I just know they go, I've got to get in the prover right now, otherwise it won't be ready to knead. That's all I know.
It might be water and flour.
I think it's water and flour. I don't know if they put eggs.
I mean, maybe that's why I'm no person to judge, because I don't actually know what goes in bread. I just know that Subway bread isn't bread.
Can't wait for the emails about how to make bread.
Yeah, right? Anyway,
here's what bread is, you dipshits. Yeah, go ahead.
And it burned me so fully. It burned me. It was one of the first burns that I got. Mm-hmm. Of food where I actually tried to spit it out. Because you know how when you burn your mouth, you try to you almost like cough out the steam because you're just like, all that stuff. And I didn't do any of that.
It gets hotter. So you have to just leave your mouth kind of open. Right.
Give a little steam shoot.
I didn't do any of that. I bit it, burned myself, and then just let it fall out of my mouth. And it...
blah.
It took way too long to fall out of my mouth. This was not bread. This is insanity. Yeah, yeah. And so then I felt like it was so bad that I wanted to make a big deal out of it, but I didn't want to end up like the hot coffee McDonald's lady. You know what I'm talking about? Remember they handed her the hot coffee and she burned her like whole midsection because the coffee was like dangerously hot.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like what this bread was. It was like, you know, you shouldn't be serving bread at that temperature.
Right.
All right. So then already that was your first mistake. Then you didn't even give it a second to cool. You just cut it and handed it to me. And I could feel how hot it was through the paper. And I was like, he just served me hot metal. And so then, you know, it was my fault for bite into it, but I immediately tried to spit it out. But it was just, it was coming out of my mouth too slow. I feel like I burned. I did just burn my tongue and the roof of my mouth. I burned three lip hairs, like three mustache hairs came with it. Just got singed on the way down.
Yeah, you smell burnt hair now.
Yeah,
because the bread touched your face.
Oh, it was bad.
That's interesting though. You bring up the hot coffee McDonald's lady, because that's always one I love telling people about, because everyone just knows it as, ah, some idiot burned themselves with coffee and then sued McDonald's because the coffee was hot. It's like, that's not what happened. She got third degree burns and went into shock.
Yeah, it's also great marketing on McDonald's part, because the story they told.
They did a great job of twisting it, but actually she actually won. She got McDonald's to pay for her medical bills because she didn't want like a huge settlement. She just wanted, like, hey, pay for my new crotch flesh. Because they had to do skin grafts. Like, they had to literally do skin grafts on her thighs. And then they found, like, oh, yeah, they were serving the coffee at, it was like 100 degrees over what it was supposed to be or something.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, yeah, no one should be handed a liquid this hot ever.
Yeah, you might as well hand them a gun.
Yeah. A gun with cream and sugar on it. And so she was in the hospital for like a couple weeks, and then she sued McDonald's to be like, "Hey, can you help me? It's my skin." And she won. So really, it's a story of a lady beating a corporation with her singed thighs. But
you may have to cut this. I'm just telling you now.
Okay, great.
But it is as terrible as what happened to her was, and McDonald's really put her through the ringer to get that money. Yes. They did not make it easy. It was a long, arduous thing. But imagine it to me, in a very removed way, it feels like when my friend's place got robbed and they had insurance. So then the insurance covered a lot of stuff, but it, like, in order to cover some of the stuff that got robbed, they just basically got money to buy new versions of that stuff. So they ended up having like a new, better TV for the TV that got stolen, and new window panes for the window panes that got broken and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just imagining what it would be like to win that settlement and get a whole new pussy.
That is just... You took me on this kind of little walk. I was not expecting it to end there. I mean, yeah, you know, who says money can't buy happiness?
You get a new model. You get... Yeah, grandma could be ruining men's lives with that new tight shit.
Yeah, she looks at her husband just like, and you think I never get you anything nice, you know? It's even worse if the pussy shows up in a box, you know? Yeah, here's your new one.
And just like IKEA, it's like missing two screws.
Yeah,
you got to send off for the other screws.
I have to attach the Florbin to the Gjorkenkarg? What is...
Oh, man. Okay. So, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you believe in any sort of like clairvoyance or like being able to see the future or have influence in any way on predetermined events, you know, like premonitions or horoscopes, any of that stuff?
I mean, not really. Like, I don't necessarily think there's... I don't believe in psychics necessarily, but I don't know. There's some weird shit, like, I've heard of or witnessed, you know what I mean? Like, I've had, like, relatives that have, like, weird, like, they call somebody and just be like, hey, you need to check on this person. And then they go check and, like, they were having a stroke or whatever. And this other person, like,
oh,
you know,
wow.
Yeah, my cousin had one of those. It was, like, it was a weird one. And, like, she just knew that someone needed to check on one of our uncles. It's like, so, like, that stuff kind of, like, weirds me out of, like, And then, like really vivid deja vus are super weird, because I kind of have them as dreams ahead of time. Like, yeah. I'll have like a dream of something, and then I'll have the deja vu later of like, ooh, shit, this is what I saw, like, in my dream. And I know the thing with deja vu is, like, it's just something that can happen often enough that your brain just kind of, I don't know, recognizes it as the same. But So I don't know. That's kind of, I know it's a really non-committal answer I just gave you, but I don't necessarily believe in like looking at a crystal ball and be like, this is what's going to happen. But like, that was Dracula. I don't know. I did.
Yeah.
Dracula
I was
voice.
Like, why is that a vampire?
Call me now and I will read your tarot cards.
Yeah. I think
that was my Dracula Miss Cleo, by the way, is what I was doing.
There. Yeah. No, I could tell.
What about you? What about you?
That impression is very racist to people who don't exist. All those Jamaican vampires. Ooh, we gonna get some emails. Y'all out here playing games. Okay. Hey, I just want all y'all Jamaican vampires to know that was not me. Okay. Ooh, you gonna be in trouble. Because I know at least one of them from Twilight will come after you.
Well, I guess I need to take this opportunity now to apologize to the Jamaican vampire community.
No, it's too late. You can't do the apology in the same episode you did the thing.
I got to wait for the backlash, then I got to...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess don't. I'm glad you don't have Twitter because they'd be coming for you right about now.
That's true. Well, you can get a hold of me, man. So, you know, just, call me now.
Oh, okay. We double it down. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a bad boy. I'm an edgelord, Josh. Come on.
Yeah, no, I.
Yeah, what about you? Believe in fucking psychics? What do you.
Here's the thing. This is genuinely, I think, you look at people who look at someone like Usain Bolt, right? So he is one of a handful of people, maybe, you know, three people in the entire planet that can
run as
fast.
Who's a Jamaican vampire, yeah.
You're half right.
It was funny that you immediately then brought up a Jamaican person.
No. I haven't disagreed with the way that you've been pulling these through lines together yet. I'm just saying. One day there's going to be a reckoning and you're going to have to sit there by yourself because I warned you.
Yeah, but my dying words are going to be really great. They're going to really tie everything up in a bow. So.
Okay.
Just saying.
No, I just.
What about Usain Bolt, though? What were you saying?
Oh, I just look at him and people like him, and we can accept that out of all of the people on the planet, out of like, you know, what are we at now? Like 8+ billion people on the planet. That only
is it eight?
Those,
I thought it was like 7.
I thought it was still 7 too, but I think we crossed over to 8. Mm. I could be wrong though.
It's a lot of fucking people either way.
Yeah, that's the other disadvantage of recording this podcast and just sort of talking is that someone could be looking it up right now and being like, "This guy's a moron." It's still 7. Where do you get an extra billion people?
If they've been listening the whole time and this is the first time they think we're morons, then good for us for tricking them for so long. So,
I mean, sure, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I look at him and the Olympians at his level, and it's like, okay, out of 8 billion plus people, only 3 people can run that fast, and we can accept that. But then if you tell me that someone has some sort of other ability, I'm like, no way. And it's like, maybe just out of probability, maybe out of the billions and billions of people, a handful of people have some sort of feeling or notion or whatever. I can accept that. I don't know if I fully believe in it as like a science or or spiritualism as something that is accessible to everybody. I think that we've proven for the most part that the spiritualism in the 1800s and early 1900s was a complete scam and how they pulled those scams off. But I do think that, you know, there are little things I have heard, kind of like what you're talking about with check on this person. And then it turns out they were like, we do have little, shared experiences of like, and maybe energy is the wrong word, but we do have that about each other. It's like that feeling when someone's staring at you and you can just feel it, even though they were behind you and you had no reason to see them. But for
and
me,
some people,
I would.
Some people are more susceptible than others to like just the energies of other people. And I don't mean energies in like a like kind of a hippie way. I mean like the literal energy that comes off of creatures. And it's why dogs are so good at like sensing things around them and stuff. Just they're more attuned to that kind of, you know, electromagnetic field or whatever. It's, you know, people can be more susceptible. Like, I think we talked about on a recent episode, but it's like why it's one of the theories of why people, some people go to like quote haunted places and they feel like, oh, I feel ill in this room. It's usually because there's a lot of bad wiring around there and they're super sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Like, whereas someone else may not feel it.
Sure. So, you know, I think those types of things are possible. I imagine. I'd like to think that there's somebody out there who has those sorts of like feelings, like clairvoyance and stuff. But the thing that they can always feel is useless. Like they're just like, oh no, the guy on the bus next to me is about to fart. But then the bus is too packed, so they just have to sit there for the fart.
That's the only shit you can predict. Like that's gonna suck.
Yeah, that's what
all
I
you,
mean.
All you, like, all you can predict are little inconveniences from people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that lady's about to sneeze. I should back up.
Hey, well, in this day and age, that's life-saving.
Yeah, it could be. You have no idea.
My aunt, Debbie, predicted what time I'd be born at.
What?
Yeah, my mom went into labor with me and dropped off my older brother with my Aunt Debbie quick, like when they were going to go to the hospital. Like she just started having like the beginning contractions, you know, and they're just like, well, all right, let's go there. And then just out of nowhere, my Aunt Debbie said, that baby's going to be born at 9:35. And I was. It's a real thing. And it's because of that.
No,
my mom,
I
every year,
you.
Every year on my birthday, my mom calls me at 9:35 a.m. because I'm the only one that she like knows the time I was born just because, I mean, it's written down elsewhere, but my brothers, I just don't think that one just sticks in everyone's head because out of nowhere, my fucking aunt just lobbed this amazing, you know, full court shot. 9:35. Buckets.
Turns out your aunt was also like a midwife, so she just can tell from the contractions, like, oh, this is gonna be a 3-hour baby. It's gonna take a while.
Is that the spinoff to 90 Day Fiance? Is 3-hour baby? But yeah, so like that. That's fucking weird.
Yeah,
I have nothing more to say about it than that's fucking weird. Was that just a really lucky shot? Maybe. Did something tell her 9:35 in her head? I don't know. Never really asked her.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to know. I wouldn't even I wouldn't even broach it. She might accidentally tell you how you die or something. You don't even want to know.
Would like, you, that's a question. That's one that always comes up with people. If you could know about your own death, would you want to? Like if you knew when you were going to die.
Yeah. That then leads to the other question of like, if you found out, could you change it or is fate sealed? And so,
right.
I guess if I could change it and it was something very dumb, then I would try to both find out and change it. But if it was something that was like a little bit more inevitable, I would just try to enjoy my life as much as possible until the point.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, if this is like, oh no, you're going to die in this day, no matter what. And it's like, well then. I'm going to live for that day then. I'm going to do everything I can to just have fun and make people happy.
Yeah. But if someone was like,
and I don't got to worry about really saving money because if I know what day I'm going to die.
you're going to die at this club. It's like, oh, I just won't go. I already don't like clubs. They're too loud. Who dragged me there?
That's like, the prediction is of a place I don't like going. Like, I don't even like bars like that. Why'd I go there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned your aunt because I knew a kid in high school who in front of me. So I guess his parents were there and I feel like this was for science class or something. The reason he was asking, but he was like, Mom, what time was I born? And she was like, you were born right at noon. And then he was like, okay, AM or PM. And she just did the thing you did. She just sighed. Like,
I mean,
she that's just one, sighed forever.
That is one that people fuck up a lot because people think that 12 p.m. is midnight. A lot of people do, and they're wrong. But
yeah, but he wasn't even doing that. He because the number
he was,
wasn't
he
12.
He was saying which noon. Said, that's true. Which noon?
Yeah. She said noon, and he said, okay, a.m. or p.m.
Yeah.
Which is a special type of dub. Like, it wasn't as if...
Lunch noon or dark noon?
Yeah.
Which noon was I born at?
That dude, and then she went...
and disowned
she exhaled
him.
She like then... it was tobacco. Like it was a huge cigar. Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I have been thinking about it a little bit just because, you know, I have had my own run-ins with fortune tellers that have not been pleasant.
God, that is a loaded intro. I've had my run-ins with fortune tellers.
So, because you know, I grew up in Louisiana, and so when I would go to New Orleans, and this is much later, this is like when I'm in college and going to New Orleans and stuff. When I would go to New Orleans, they're just in like a French Quarter and stuff, and you're just
right.
You're just chilling.
As somebody from Louisiana, how big is like the for lack of a better word, the voodoo stuff down there? And I don't mean like everyone's practicing it, but I mean like how much of it is put on for touristy stuff in New Orleans, and then how much of it is like still kind of a cultural thing circling?
I would say it's closer to 50-50 than you think.
Really? Okay. That's
yeah, interesting. Because I've met lots of people who genuinely, especially as the movement towards Wicca got big when we were in like high school and college.
Yeah.
I think that reignited a lot of the voodoo stuff that was in the South.
Okay.
And so a lot of it, if you're taking a tour, it's put on. Like a lot of it
right,
is obviously
sure.
put on.
Yeah.
But then you do meet people. Like I've met a few people who genuinely practice like voodoo witchcraft, like old religion type stuff. And out of the three of them, only one of them like scared me where I was like, oh, okay, I don't know if I should be hanging out here.
Yeah.
Cause it is a thing of like, you know, there weren't any shrunken heads or anything, but it's like you do have a lot of dead stuff at your house. And I just don't want to be here for it. Yeah, I mean, just be like dried bugs and stuff like that. And I was just like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't really need any of this around me. And so I remember I went to New Orleans and I didn't even want to get my fortune told because I just think it's a scam, right? My friend paid for the 5-minute consultation, whatever thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so then if I didn't just at least stand there, I'd be wasting it. Cause it's like, he already paid and was like, it's not for me, it's for him. And so then I do respect this hustle though. So then he pays for my fortune to be told. And then the fortune teller lays out the cards. Like these are tarot cards, right?
Yeah.
Lays out the cards, lays out the last card and goes, ooh, and then scoops up all the cards and then walks away. And I was like, I think you just paid for me to now believe in that thing. Cause now I got to track this person down to be like, what did you see? And it's like, what salesmanship? What really keep them coming back for more?
Maybe it was like a card that was showing your friend killing the fortune teller. And she's like, well, I got to go.
No matter what it was for the fortune teller to be like, oh.
Yeah. Maybe what if just fortune tellers get bored? And so like every 30th customer, they just do something like that.
Yeah. That's how that's how they break their shift.
They flip a card and like, you got to go.
you need to get out of here now. You need to go now.
So you said that you think fortune teller is kind of a scam.
The curbside ones, I feel like if you, this is what it feels like for me. When a genuinely incredibly talented comic has been doing stand up for like over a decade, mm-hmm. and they're still just sort of like chilling at mics and not doing anything else.
Right.
It's like that level of skepticism for me where I'm like, all right, like yeah. maybe, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know most people's comedy from anything else. So then if you are really good, I'd love to see it. But like, if you're telling me yeah. that you haven't progressed in 12 years, then like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe you. The same way that if you really have those powers of clairvoyance and you're willing to sell it for $5 to tell a stranger to yes go to college, it's like,
right,
yeah, I don't think I believe you.
Now just to I want to follow that analogy a little bit further, so then what would be the next, like if we're going comedy equivalent from like open micer, is that what's the comedy equivalent, the next step up versus the next step up for psychics?
I think those people who genuinely off of recommendations of other people go to people's houses and tell their fortunes and stuff. Like,
so
that's
that,
a real
so,
thing.
So that's now being like a,
that's like a showcase comic.
That's like a showcase comic. Yeah. Now you're getting some showcase spots. You're making some money.
Yeah,
you're getting on the road maybe a little bit here and there. That's what the house cleansers are.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm telling you, man, though, there's money in there. If you
you're gonna have a Rolodex of places
mm-hmm.
that need, you know, time or whatever they use to.
Yeah.
What is it they mostly use to? Is it that?
Oh, I think it's time. Yeah.
Time, right?
And sage.
Sage, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But then after that, it's the same as comedy. Then after that, it's identical. It's like you get your own show, you get a national tour.
Yeah, maybe a Netflix special.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've kind of burned yourself out. You know, right, you actually don't want to rise too fast. Like, you know those people who are just like, have you ever seen one of those things where the person's just like horrifically wrong?
Oh, and like the TV prediction stuff?
The TV prediction stuff and like, okay, so especially in the 2000s, there was a huge movement of like almost like akin to back in the day spiritualism where people would have these like live shows.
Yeah, that's where John Edwards hit that whole thing. The where he would go up to people and be like, I'm getting something with a J.
Yeah.
And he would just do that over and over again. And, you know, as they've found with most of those, it's just having, you know, a research team. It's pre-interviews in line. There's all these little tricks they do to get information out of you to make you go, oh my god, that is my uncle.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I feel like
you
I would just
knew
go,
I had an uncle. Like, yeah. You can.
Well, when you said your mother was one of seven, I took a wild guess that they weren't all girls.
Yeah.
No, I've watched some of those, and it's very funny to me when...
My mom was very into some of those. When those
really?
Were on. Yeah. Yeah. My mom, she's on this weird spectrum of mysticism. There's clearly, like, she kind of believed in some magic mm-hmm. a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and then also she can be very pragmatic. I don't know. She's in that. She's really got one foot in either camp. I think waiting to see who turns out to be right.
Sure. Yeah, man. I cannot imagine if there have been psychics this whole time and the world just is the way it is. That would either mean that like. You know what I feel like it is? I feel like if there really are psychics and the world is the way it is, they either are only ever using their powers, right down to each human being mm-hmm. that has the powers, they're only ever using their powers for personal gain and just keeping it to themselves and taking care of themselves and their family, or they sound too dumb to listen to. They freshly burn their mouth. And so now they're trying to tell everyone, guys, we got to, guys, we got to get out of the building. We got to get out. Oh, Oh, did anyone else have that pizza? It's so hot. Oh, it's so hot.
They're about to... Whoo, Pearl Harbor is about to get bombed. Whoo, whoo.
Wait, ooh. What are you saying?
The Japanese are... Ooh, about to... Oh, about to bomb Pearl Harbor. I need water. I need... Ha, ha.
What are you saying about my knees?
No, the Japanese! Oh my God, it's on fire! Why would you cook that hot? No, it's Pearl Harbor!
I'm just saying, I feel like maybe they...
Or, here's my thought, what if they can predict the future, but then they can also predict that if they tell anybody how they're going to make it even worse? So they gotta be like, I gotta just keep this to myself.
I suppose so. That actually would be a dope movie premise.
That's an interesting
to
movie
be
idea,
like,
right?
Yeah, you
the psychic who knows he can't listen to his premonitions, otherwise it will just screw up time.
What would be really funny about it is that all of this stuff is happening on this like Inception Christopher Nolan level, but the actual story world is taking place with a guy just like sitting on the train. Because in his mind, he's just thinking about what would happen if he did the thing, and then what would happen, and then what would happen, and then what would happen.
Oh, shit.
And
I just realized
it
that
would
just movie.
Be him sitting there.
That movie exists. I just realized.
What is it?
And it sucks. It's the movie.
Are you going to say Next?
Next.
With Nicolas Cage?
The Nicolas Cage movie. Because
Not quite, though. Not quite. Because with Nicolas Cage... Okay, so...
But it's the same thing, though, where it's like it ends... Spoiler alert for Next... But it goes through this whole action movie of him predicting stuff. But then the whole conclusion is that he realizes if he meets this girl, it all goes that way. And so he walks away from her. Like, that's kind of how it all goes, isn't it? Or it takes a huge step back and undoes a lot of the movie, where it's just you realize that's all just premonitions.
Yeah, I feel like it did to the middle of the movie, though.
Maybe.
Maybe not when he met her, but also... This whole tangent was a butterfly effect is much better.
Damn
movie.
It! This movie's been written and it wasn't good either way. I had a good
like
movie in my
effect?
Head. I remember it being fine when I first saw it when it came out, and then I'm sure if I watch it now, I'll be like, "There's major plot holes in it," which is fine. But when you have a movie that has like strict rules, and then you at one point you just decide to not. Follow the rules, because that's like how he gets out of prison is by the movie breaks its own rules.
I feel like we started on a talk about if we believe in premonitions and stuff, and we've now moved on to spoiling every movie from 2005.
Well, you know, I may not believe in psychics, but I could have predicted that would happen.
I knew this would go off the rails enough.
I knew it. I knew we weren't going to stay on topic.
Anybody want to know the international treasure? I'm crazy out here.
Hey, I'm holding back right now to going off on Butterfly Effect more. So, you know,
yeah,
respect
this,
my
this
restraint,
is
please.
Honestly the movie version of the air hockey conversation for listeners. This is this. I can only imagine if you really thought we were going to go somewhere interesting. And then we were like, yeah, but our movie idea. No, someone watched our worst pitch meeting happen in real time right now.
Oh, I would love it if we did a pitch meeting where in the room we realize the movie we're pitching has already been made and we don't like it.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like doing that like at a conference table with studio execs and then be like, oh, no way, that's like Next. Oh, that wasn't good. Never mind. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so sorry to take up literally any of your your day.
Now those Danishes out front, are those for anyone or?
I find when you have to ask, they're not for you.
No, they're not. You got to be confident and take them.
People usually tell you when the Danishes are for you.
I don't know. I've
never been to a place where I could have the Danishes and no
and
one told me.
Yeah.
any place that I've seen Danishes and then wondered if I could have one, I was not important enough to have a Danish.
That, I don't know, that sentence just tickled me. That was up there with either be a magnet or don't. It was just, it just had that same energy to it.
It's way too many words to put on a t-shirt, though.
It is, but whatever. I like cumbersome merch.
Is that the name of the company?
Yeah, that's my new merch company, Cumbersome Merch. We make t-shirts and stickers that are all just fucking heavy. Just everything. It's just hard to lug around. All the they're extra thick. You get real sweaty in them. Anyway.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to segue back into magic. What's up?
Oh, no, just I did get a fortune cookie one time that predicted the next day that I had.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? What'd it say?
Okay, so the fortune cookie was, you know, that esoteric language they all use and everything. So that was like, it was like you will.
I don't know if I'd call it, it's fake esoteric.
Sure, but it's still an attempt at the thing. Like,
no, for sure. It's trying to sound profound, but when you think about it for any amount of time, you go, that's the most vague shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me see what my lucky numbers are.
It was like, you will have to be more flexible than you've ever been before. Which was like, weirdly direct, right?
Because it was also like, when you're eating Chinese food too, getting full, you don't want to think about, I got to limber up now.
Right?
I got the meat sweats. I'm going to lay down after this. I got to start stretching out my hammies. Shit. Am I about to get chased? Am I about to get chased right now? Tell me. You have to tell me, fortune cookie, if I'm about to get chased right now. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Just it was like, you will have to be more flexible than you've ever been before, which is already like a real full sentence for a fortune cookie. Like, could mean a variety of things. Yeah. When I broke it open, I was like, this needs to be also on the back. You can't really fit this many words.
Yeah. I need a deciphering on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so then the next day I realized that I had a date, and this particular date I was supposed to cook at home for the date.
Okay.
Right? I forgot that up until like 2 hours before.
Wow, that's a good thing to forget there, bud.
Because in my mind I was like, oh yeah, I never asked where we were gonna go, and then I looked through the text again. I'm like, oh no, it's here, and it's like, and I gotta cook something. Like, did now.
So I'm assuming you offered it then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And forgot that you offered to me. Because that shit would be on my mind ever since I offered it.
Yeah, but it had been like a week or something. And so then I was just looking like left and right nonstop for like different things that were already in the fridge, right? And nothing that could make a meal was there.
Yeah.
nothing that wouldn't look like I learned to cook in prison.
Right, yeah.
So then I had to run.
Prison spread.
Yeah, right? I had to run to the grocery store, and then was trying in the moment to decide what I was going to cook. So then I could have just gone with something easy like spaghetti meatballs, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, it didn't occur to me that I could just do something simple, because then in my mind, if I went too simple, it would look like I cooked up two TV dinners or something. So, you know, I really wanted to like do something impressive. And so I settled on a chicken parm.
Okay.
Which already, not crazy, not like, it's not a souffle, you know what I mean? But I was getting, the ingredients I was getting were too, like, I could have just bought the sauce, you know what I mean? Some cutlets, whatever. I still in my mind was like, it didn't occur to me that I could just simply buy the cutlets, bread them, you know, heat them up, bake them, whatever, right. Get the sauce ready, throw the sauce on, throw the cheese on. Mm-hmm. I went way back. I went like, I just bought a whole chicken.
And now I got to learn how to cut its head off and pluck the feathers.
Right. So I just bought this whole chicken. And then I didn't buy the sauce. I bought like tomatoes and basil and like pepper and like just like passed the sauce to
right
to get this stuff.
Wow. So and, you having completely forgotten that you were going to make dinner at home, you decided now's the time to learn how to make everything from scratch.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because in my head, I was like,
I give you credit for the confidence. I give you.
It wasn't confidence. It was a panic.
Yeah. I was trying to dress it up for you, but I've never in a panic bought a whole chicken. What do I? Oh, I guess this. So I admire how unearned. Confident your panic attacks are.
And so I rush back home, and mm-hmm. luckily it's not like too far, but I've burned 30 minutes, so now I have an hour right. and a half, which already does not seem like enough time.
Doesn't leave a lot of room.
Yeah, to get this whole raw chicken in any form of edible without poisoning both of us.
Right. Wait, so did you decide to try to cook the whole chicken?
Yeah, in my mind, it was going to be quicker to cook the whole chicken than cut a piece off and cook it.
Obviously not. Fucking obviously not.
Cause
it's
I also
so
thought,
much faster to just cut a little piece off. And cook that.
I thought the juices would flow better and stuff. I thought like,
wow.
And so then I was trying to do so many things at one time. I was like grating the cheese because I had bought a block of the like Parmesan cheese. So I was mm-hmm. grating the cheese onto a cutting board, and then I was also chopping up the tomatoes and like dicing some onions, all the stuff, and then the chicken was like, you know, right on the stove and everything.
Right.
And then I don't remember what I was trying to do that I had to move the chicken, but basically I was also trying to make this like appetizer that was also breaded. So maybe it was like mozzarella sticks or something. I was trying to make something that was like
God,
that also breaded.
Too. Jeez.
Yeah, this is a bad idea. And then I end up moving the chicken.
I'm now really glad that my panic attacks are I just kind of sit down and freak out for a while and don't decide to just plan a 3-course meal from scratch. I'm glad I panic differently.
3 courses, please. So anyway.
You already got apps and a whole chicken.
So anyway, I had to move the chicken to make more room because the kitchen was not like a real kitchen. It's like a half kitchen. So then I
Where was
opened,
this at? Was this a...
It was in Chicago.
Was this your studio?
Oh, or? Yeah. Yeah. This okay. is, and so then I move the chicken from the mm-hmm. stove to the fridge, and the fridge right. door is just staying open because I'm just in and out of it, like grabbing stuff, mm-hmm. putting stuff back, everything. And then I am trying to basically get these mozzarella sticks ready, because in my mind this is also very backwards, but in my mind I was like, if I can at least get the mozzarella sticks done, I could always
yeah
I could always finish mozzarella sticks and then be like, oh yeah, and I had a great follow-up, but we're gonna have to order out, like because at least there's something, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Take care of the easy stuff first, right? So then, as I'm moving the chicken, it's on a plate mm-hmm. in the fridge, right? Fridge door is just open. I don't know what happened to make this happen, right? But it just starts to, maybe it was because of how I quickly placed it there, but it just starts to almost roll out of off of the plate and out of the fridge.
Yeah.
And so then I make a jump to catch it, because I'm like, this chicken cannot fall on the floor.
Right.
Like, I'm already not making a good dinner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've done all the stuff, you know, like where you take the syringe and you put it in the chicken and stuff like that. Like, I've already... What do you call it? Is it basting?
It's basting. But like the way the hand signal, like your hands are so far apart in the miming you're doing, it looks like you're harpooning it.
Yeah, I was just shooting spices and stuff into the chicken.
What is this hand movement you're doing?
I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing then.
It looks like you're trying to line up a pool shot, but you've never played before.
Like... And so basically, it starts to roll off of the plate and out of the fridge. And so I make this move to catch it. So I catch it in my left hand, and I'm leaning to keep standing where I am, because I didn't jump for it to hit the ground, because I felt like it would still either fall on my face and I would get like raw chicken in my eye, or it would just hit the floor. So I'm holding the plate with the chicken on it. Then, for whatever reason, once again, I cannot explain why this happened, but I think it was because as I was making the move to put the chicken in the fridge, I was also pulling the oven door down to put the mozzarella sticks in. So now I've got my chicken in my left hand extended out to one side, and the oven door is continuing to fall. Now, like I said, I've mentioned this in previous episodes about my studio. My studio was not made for people to live in, okay? So if you pull the oven door all the way down, it like that is the kitchen. Like, you now have to step over the oven door to like move around, right?
Yeah. So then I think that's a lot of studios, a lot of small apartments that just have like a tiny kitchen. You
can
do one thing at a time.
Yeah. And so then I catch the oven door with my foot, because I'm still trying to keep like room for myself in this general like kitchen area. And so I'm holding the mozzarella sticks in my right hand, I'm holding the raw chicken in my left hand, and I'm holding the oven door up halfway with my right foot. And then I thought to myself, wow, the fortune cookie was right. And then I
honestly
dropped all
of
it.
I forgot how this fucking started. And you just tried to blow past it. I'm just like, yep, I had to be very flexible. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up dropping the chicken on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I'm now past sidekicks and fortune cookies, anything. How'd this date go?
I mean, not well. There was nothing to eat.
Did you even get the mozzarella sticks done?
It looked really bad. It looked really bad.
Oh.
It looked like I shot a bunch of mozzarella sticks in the face. Because I don't know how they get mozzarella sticks to close.
Yeah.
Like mine just looked like two dry logs with all the mozzarella seeping out when I pulled it out of the oven.
Okay. You did breading around them and everything?
The breading was what held. So, you know, the breading was holding like a log, and then the mozzarella just seeped out, and it...
Okay. Did you cover the ends, or did you just roll it on the sides?
I don't remember what I did, but whatever I did was wrong.
I mean, I don't know why I'm asking. I don't really have notes to make it better. I'm just trying to...
Yeah. I mean, when I pulled it out, it was really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how do you feel like you could have better heeded the fortune cookies warning? How do you feel like you could have used that warning of tomorrow you'll have to be more flexible than you ever have been?
I think I should have just ordered in and thrown all the takeout boxes away.
I should have just lied.
Yeah, 100%.
Is what I should have done.
Because now I bought a whole chicken, dropped it on the floor, and everything that I squeezed into it is just shooting out. It was like a firework.
Like a poultry water balloon.
Yeah, because it hit the ground too hard. So then it just exploded in my kitchen. So that's the other reason I didn't get anything else cooked, was because I spent that whole time that I had left cleaning up the walls and the floor because I was like, even if I cook the most amazing chicken parm now, it's going to smell like raw chicken juices all in my kitchen.
Oh, man. My favorite thing about doing this show is how we can start with any topic of even starting with mysticism, the idea of premonitions and psychics, and it still ends with you just dropping shit.
I've never, like, I didn't even know a chicken could do that. Like, you would think the chicken had way more holes than the one that I was putting all the juices into.
Right.
Because, like, it was like someone put a stick of dynamite in it. Because, it, like, obviously it didn't explode where there was, like, a chicken wing over here and a thigh over there. But
hey,
like,
if anyone would find a way to do it, it'd be you, bud.
But, dude, when I tell you, I could swear that I dropped it from, like, maybe slightly above waist height. So it's not like I threw it down or, like, I was holding it up and it
spiked,
you know,
it in victory.
Yeah. And the way that it shot, like, just turmeric and like chicken stock juices all over the drawers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my sink wasn't I had to clean my sink because it, like, some of it, like, was it got everywhere. Yeah. It got like in the fridge door because the fridge is still open. So now there's chicken juices. The fridge door. I was so angry. I was so upset because at the moment that I caught everything, I really felt like I was styling on life.
Right.
Because it's like, ooh, I caught the chicken. I got the mozzarella sticks in my other hand. I got the oven door. Like, I felt like, you know, like I felt like a single dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Really just doing it all.
But then
juggling all the responsibilities.
I dropped the chicken and got chicken juices on my knees, and then the mozzarella sticks burned out. Like, they just leaked immediately.
Right.
And so then I just had a bunch of chopped tomatoes on a cutting board next to some Parmesan.
And a sheet of melted mozzarella.
Yeah. I didn't even have, like, if I had lettuce, I could have made, like, some sort of, like, caprese salad or something. But I didn't even have any lettuce. I didn't think to get any.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that settles the debate. Fortune cookies are real.
Yeah.
It's actual magic. He should have been more flexible. He needed to be. All right. Mm. Mystery solved, I think.
Yeah, if you ever get a fortune cookie that's like a whole sentence, you should burn it.
Yeah. Do you think that solves it or just gets it out of your mind at least?
I would be interested in what burning a fortune from a fortune cookie would do.
Well, I mean, probably nothing since they were just something invented by a guy in San Francisco. They have no ancient mysticism wrapped up in them at all.
Sure, but I'm just saying, maybe if I burned it, then, you know, I would have been able to at least throw together some hot dogs.
Why, you think that would have made the date go better?
I think having
any food
ready,
over to your apartment,
any food prepared would have made it better.
I don't know. For me personally, I'd rather know someone screwed up trying to make something good than if I got there and they're like, yeah, I made hot dogs. And I'd be like,
okay.
Really?
Would you rather
yeah.
have a hot dog or not eat? Those are your options at 7 o'clock.
Well, no,
we can always go somewhere.
Yeah. So we can always go somewhere. I'd rather do that than have apartment hot dogs with a person I'm trying to get to know.
How are apartment hot dogs worse than... You said that like they're worse than like baseball stadium hot dogs.
When you're going to someone's apartment expecting dinner and that's what they have, that's just a letdown. Because you don't even have you don't even have to like cook those.
Can I tell you right now? Just look, I'm just trying to be honest with you. Let me tell you right now.
Go ahead.
You sound a little bit like a gold digger. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Because I'm out here trying to do my best. Okay.
Yeah. And you're throwing chicken to the ground.
I bought the whole chicken. All right.
Yeah.
I already told you. So
yeah, you bought the whole chicken. You had no idea what to do with it.
You know.
No, see, this is how you get you. And you do that, and you try to vamp to find something to say back because you know I'm right. You know I'm right.
No, you're not. You're not right.
You
though.
Screwed up by buying a whole chicken and having no idea what to do with it. That's on you. That's your fault.
Look, all I'm saying is if I attempted to cook you a nice dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Then you want to come over to my place and scoff at my apartment hot dogs, as you call them.
I wouldn't scoff at them to your face. I'd eat the hot dogs and be polite, and then never go on another date. Unless you were trifling. Unless we really hit it off, Josh. We could really hit it off.
You're trifling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm out here doing my best, okay? I hope you like your dry mozzarella sticks, because apparently your standards, I can't beat them. So let me give you what I got, which was the crispy, burnt, breaded part of the dry mozzarella.
Mm-hmm. To go with my floor chicken.
Chew on that.
Yeah, you really got me, bud. You really dunked on me by making me eat the food you fucked up. You really got me. You really got me with that conclusion there, buddy. Yeah? Oh, you think you're so high and mighty? Eat this horrible thing I made. Yeah. You're a bad person. What is that even? I don't even know what you're trying to prove.
Yeah. No, in real life, the date was fine, especially after I explained what happened. It was funny because after I explained what happened, there was this moment where what you're talking about should have happened, where this person should have like scoffed at me and been like, wow, this guy does not have it together. But then maybe it was just the way that I described it. They acted like it happened to me. So then
were they like, I'm so sorry?
Yeah. Which is actually really nice of them.
That is really nice. No, and I'm not saying they should scoff at you and write you off. I'm just saying you're going to start at a deficit if you invite somebody over for a nice dinner and then all you have is hot dogs. That's what I was trying to convey.
Can I tell you, though?
Yeah. Because there might be some people who got married because of that, because of bad apartment food.
Just this week, actually, my girlfriend went to go get a COVID test. And while she was getting her COVID test, it was like raining. And she was like, had to stand in this line for a really long time, longer than it took me to vote. And it's pouring. And so it's like, man, if she doesn't have COVID, she's definitely going to give me a cold, because this is not good conditions to say you're about to go in a medical facility. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so then she texted me and she was like, hey, do you want to start dinner for me? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I tried to play it off like cool, like, hey, you know, it's okay, bae, I got you, you know. And then immediately after she sent that text, I panicked and I was like, what did we even say we were gonna have for dinner? So then I
bought a whole chicken. Anytime Josh panics in a grocery store, just this.
See, you trying to bring up old stuff.
yeah, old shit that we covered minutes ago.
But then I started this curry, and I had watched her make the curry a handful of times, right? Mm-hmm. She's made it plenty of times, but I've only ever really paid attention a few times. And I tried to do it myself, and man, it was like, so basically she gets in the apartment, she's soaking wet. I feel so bad. And then she's like, have you started it? And in truth, it's almost finished, right? Mm-hmm. So it was wrapping up as she got back. But then I was like, listen, okay, I don't know if I burned the couscous or not. And I'm going to tell you, I started boiling the water, but the water won't boil right, okay? So then I tried to boil another pot of water, and I just had to pour that out. So maybe I'm trying to boil too much water, okay? But I chopped up the carrot, chopped up potatoes, got sweet potatoes in there. I did everything I was supposed to do, but it won't. The curry won't act right. And then once again, she was like, aw, it'll be okay.
And then at that moment, the fridge just popped open and a chicken rolled out.
Yeah. Blood everywhere. Can you imagine? Because that was the thing. It took me so long to clean up all that chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it
I would, bet.
That, like, even if there were specks of blood, I'll be at the beginning of the date. Just look, I know what it looks like, but it's chicken, I swear.
Yeah. Anyway, you just stay here. I'm going to go clean myself off. Here's a cookie sheet of cheese.
Yeah, I'm going to clean
myself
off.
Peel off whatever you want.
You just stay right there. You don't move, okay? You don't move because you might step in chicken juices.
Don't move.
And then she looks over the corner and there's just a chicken laying in the corner like it's been shot in the face.
Oh, I thought you meant the cooked chicken. Like, you didn't even pick it up. You just pushed it to the side to deal with later.
No, it wasn't a cooked chicken. It was raw.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Should have been more flexible.
Fuck you. Thank you so much for listening to Josh Johnson Show. If you want to follow us during the week when we're not doing the show, when we're just living our lives, you can find us what?
I just like that.
That's true.
I know, and I just like the explaining of if you want to follow us. Not at this moment, but if you want to know what we're doing aside from this. No, it was a good explanation. It just, I don't know, made me chuckle. Where can they find you, Josh?
You can find me on Instagram at Josh Johnson Comedy, on Twitter at Josh Johnson, Facebook at Josh J Comedy, and YouTube at Josh Johnson Comedy, where we are going to be posting full episodes of this very show.
Might
if you're
be
looking
this
for
one.
Logan,
really depends. Really depends how Logan's editing goes. Maybe this is one. We'll find out. Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm on Instagram at Logan M. Nielsen. And if you want to email us here at the show, you can email joshjohnsonshow@gmail.com. We're actually coming up this next week. We're trying something different. Instead of our Monday minisode, we're doing a little mailbag Monday. So we're actually going to be answering some emails and talking about some reviews there. We're going to try it. We're just going to see how it works as a separate thing, because we're getting a lot of emails. We want to keep up with them and give you guys your credence, because we really, really appreciate you guys reaching out. We're continually amazed at how many people we get reaching out to us. And I'm going to say this one. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but our theme music is by Brad Kemp. He's a great music producer, and he's part of a hip-hop comedy group called Handsome Naked, and they have a new podcast that they just started. It's on YouTube. It's called Triple Teamed with Handsome Naked, and you can watch that. And eventually, I'm not sure when, but me and Josh are both in separate episodes, so you can find us there. But I wanted to give him a shout-out because his music's great, and it was a fun time. And now I'm going to be done talking.
Should I stop recording?